This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Harvey Levin here.
Derek here.
So, there was, I think, a really interesting witness on the stand yesterday in Amber Heard. And I think, in many ways, this witness was more effective for Amber Heard than Amber Heard was for herself.
Yeah, I think that's completely right.
Ellen Barkin testified, a former girlfriend of Johnny Depp's. And she talked about Johnny Depp once throwing a wine bottle across a hotel room in her direction during a fight that, between him and his friends. And she talked about him being drunk a lot of the time. And she also talked about
Controlling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you're getting a window into Johnny Depp from someone other than Amber Heard. This case is filled with Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard, and we don't know who's credible in that scenario. So you need third-party witnesses to give some validity to what these people are saying, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, Amber Heard, I think Amber Heard was really compromised during cross-examination.
Yeah, she had a tough time.
And you know, I think it wouldn't shock me if the juror said, we just don't believe her. By her own testimony, buttressing that with other people like Ellen Barkin, you know, I think helps her more than she helps herself.
I think you're right. And look, we talked about this. She had a tough time on the stand. Her lawyer had a tough time on redirect. Camille, Johnny's lawyer, did a tremendous job with cross-examination. Her task is a little more is a little easier than Johnny's, though, right? Because she laid out numerous instances of abuse and really only has to prove one in the jury's mind to show that she was in an abusive relationship. So she has a lot to fall back on, even if you poked holes in 39 of them. If she comes away saying one of these happened, she may prevail or at least not lose to Johnny Depp. Winning her defamation suit is going to be difficult, but I think not losing to Johnny Depp is all she can sort of hope for.
So if the jury listening to Amber Heard just doesn't believe her, does that change with Ellen Barkin, or do they say, well, that's Ellen Barkin's story, but Amber Heard's story, we're not buying?
Yeah, I think both. I don't know, but it does help to have an Ellen Barkin who lends credence to the idea that this is a pattern. This is how Johnny Depp behaves in relationships, because what they need to really knock down is that Johnny Depp is the charming guy from Pirates of the Caribbean and could never lay a hand on a woman. The more women you have lined up saying, no, behind closed doors, he's controlling, he's drunk a lot, he throws things when he's in a fit of rage, that hurts Johnny Depp, because all of a sudden now you've got a lot of points and you start to see a pattern about a person. And that, I think, can slip into the jury's mind.
Yeah, I'm just not sure that they are going to say, because it happened to Ellen Barkin, it happened to Amber Heard. Because, you know, they have now heard from Amber, and she did not do great on the stand. And look, I think part of it, too, it's just they have been so outlawed. It's just not even funny. They have been so outlawed. And I think that makes a difference, that when a lawyer can't present a case because they can't present evidence in a way that's not objectionable, you know, it makes the jury feel like, what's your story?
Yes.
You can't tell your story because it's not making any sense, because everything seems out of bounds legally.
I think you're completely right. As I'm watching this, you know, you've seen a lot of trials in your career. When I watched her lawyer, you realize how important it is to have a good one, right? Because as she was laying out the direct testimony, there's a rhythm. Trials are theatrical in some sense, and you want to have
They're
a rhythm.
Totally theatrical.
It is theater. So a lot of it is prepared and supposed to come out in a certain way. And when you are objected to constantly, the jury does lose faith in your story.
Well,
if
you're objected to and the judge overrules the objection, then the other side looks like they don't want the testimony coming out. They have something to hide.
That's
so
right.
It could actually hurt Johnny Depp if these objections were overruled.
Yes.
But in this case, everything gets sustained. And I think there's a huge difference based on the judge's ruling on who the jury is believing and disbelieving.
Yeah, and at some point you hear the judge's frustration. The judge almost seems to have sympathy for what Amber Heard's lawyer was going through out there, because she looked up to the stars at some point and said, like, I'm trying here, judge, because she tried to rephrase, but that's not what you want to
happen.
Can
I say, I have never heard anything like that in all, I have been a lawyer for many decades. I have never heard a lawyer saying in front of the jury that's hearing the case, God, I'm doing the best I can, Your Honor. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that is stunning.
It was devastating.
Devastating. I mean, devastating.
Yeah, you look outmatched at that point. So it looks like you're waving a white flag.
You're totally
in
waving
front
a white
of the
flag.
Jury.
You're totally waving a right. It was like
the sidebars seemed like they were law school classes, where she came up and said, "Hey, will this work?" And Camille would be up there and saying, "This is clearly hearsay. This won't work." It's just an embarrassing spectacle for this lawyer to go through.
I was shocked. Yeah. Okay. I am, speaking of shocked, this Dave Chappelle thing, oh my God.
The plot has thickened, huh?
I mean, who? So the guy that runs on stage and charges Dave Chappelle, knocks him to the ground, has a knife and a
bayonet
fake,
almost.
And like a bayonet, you know, didn't really hurt Dave. But we thought, okay, so this guy, this is kind of a one-off with this guy. Charged with attempted murder.
Wow. Wow. From his roommate. There was an incident with his
roommate. Not Dave Chappelle. A different incident.
Entirely separate. Remember, the DA, George Gascon, didn't charge the man's name is Isaiah Lee with a felony. He said there wasn't enough in the Dave Chappelle case to charge a felony.
And a lot of people
hand it to the city attorney.
And look, and without getting too local, we're in LA. There's a lot of criticism in the LA County DA, George Gascon, for basically kicking a lot of these cases. And a lot of people said, are you kidding? You're not going to charge this guy with a felony based on what he did? And that's George Gascon's policy. So we thought, wow, this guy has skated. It was sent over to the city attorney for a misdemeanor. Yeah. And then...
Well, now he's got a felony. So this
by George Gascon.
Now George Gascon is going to charge him with a felony. Not in the Dave Chappelle case. This happened at a halfway house where he allegedly stabbed his roommate. And the guy wasn't able to identify Lee. What's interesting is the Dave Chappelle incident. Obviously, that mugshot went worldwide.
Right.
The guy saw him and was like, hey,
that's the guy that stabbed me at the halfway house.
Yeah. So it helped sort of, help the investigation of that particular crime, which now he faces a felony charge
So let me just say this. Now that you can close the loop on this, think about what's going on here. That the guy allegedly stabs his roommate and is then at the Hollywood Bowl with a knife.
Yes.
Remember, this guy has stabbed before, allegedly, with a knife, running at Dave Chappelle. Whether the knife was on his person or not, it was around him. He brought it.
That in an entirely different context. Now Dave Chappelle was in real danger up
Real danger.
Yeah.
And if you were Dave Chappelle and now you hear that, you got to be shaking in your boots.
Yeah, initially, and I confess, I was one of the people who said, the guy ran on stage, the thing was in his pocket, he just wanted to lunge at Dave Chappelle, Dave wasn't in real danger. When you hear this, it's impossible not to look at that incident as it could have gone very, very differently. He could have lunged with a knife. Dave could have been stabbed on stage at the Hollywood Bowl. What a strange turn of events.
So my question is, if Gascon knew about the stabbing before this happened,
I think it would have changed his. I think it would have changed
it
his.
It would have to.
If not, he would be rightfully criticized for not taking the Dave Chappelle incident more seriously. He had that context. Doesn't sound like he did. It sounds like the guy saw the mugshot and then he put it together.
Scary.
Very scary. It's good to have him, this kind of guy, off the street.
Okay, we're going to move on. So let's talk about. Let's talk about this cruise ship. I love this story. So there's this couple that live in Seattle. I love this story. They lived in Seattle, and he's a computer programmer. He's 51 years old. His wife's 53. And they're grousing about the cost of living, which everybody's grousing about now. And they figured that it cost them $3,500 a month to live in Seattle, and that is without food and entertainment and other stuff. And so they're thinking, we love to travel, and we love going on cruise ships. Yeah. And they start adding it up, and they realize that
it would be cheaper for them to live on a cruise ship.
$100 a day all in, and they can live in a cruise ship and they can travel the world.
And that's about $3,000 a month, right? It's cheaper.
Well, no. $3,000 a month all in.
All in.
And, yeah. That, and that was $3,500 without food and entertainment and all this other stuff.
So you get shuffleboard, you get buffet. Well,
but the point, and you get the world. Mm-hmm. So you can travel, you can, and they love traveling. They're living on a cruise ship.
It's sort of ingenious.
It's fantastic.
And the idea has been right out there for everyone all this time. And they just put the economics together and they said, well, why are we living a boring life, just scratching out, a living here and paying $3,500 a month? Let's get on a cruise ship and see the world. I think it's pretty ingenious.
It really is
enterprising.
It's not just one cruise ship they're on. They're going from cruise ship to cruise ship. They're on Carnival. They're on Holland. They're and they don't stay on it 365 days a year. There are times when the cruise ship docks and they don't have the next ship. So what they're doing is they're just staying in Airbnbs in between, but they're going to jump on another ship in July. It's going to be back-to-back cruises for 9 months, and they're going to see the world for $100 a day.
It's pretty incredible. I can't believe you have as fond feelings about this. This seems I would do.
Oh,
and,
no.
And I know how you feel about cruise ships.
Oh, let me just say, diarrhea.
Yeah.
They are going to, it's like diarrhea.
Diarrhea. And cruise ship living is, you only want to do it for a couple of days. At least I do. I've been on cruises before.
Cruise ships are like Vegas to me.
They really are. Yeah. They're exhausting. Each day feels like a century. So.
Well, also. So it's like, how many drunk people can you run into in 1 week?
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Okay, moving on. I'm going to say maybe my favorite for last, but let's do Bachelorette.
I knew what you were going for last.
Oh, yeah. So Sean Booth from Bachelorette. So this is pretty interesting. So he has a house, and he found a snake in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So he decides that what he's going to do is somehow incapacitate the snake, which frankly I've never heard of. How
no.
do you do that?
Wants to knock it out
again. The
not
guy,
kill it.
The guy's in The Bachelorette. Okay, no shade, but
right. We're not sure he thought this through.
So, yeah. So why is he doing this? So he's, oh my God, he thinks he can cover it with a blanket or something, and then kind of step on it so it loses consciousness.
Right.
I have never heard of that in my life.
It sounds like he thought you can knock out a snake like you go in a movie and you hit a criminal in the back of the head and they knock out for 15 minutes. I'm not sure snakes work that way.
I don't
way.
Think they work
I don't
that
think
way.
Their brains really work that way.
I don't think they do.
But good on him that he didn't want to just kill the snake.
I agree.
He didn't want to chop the head off.
I agree.
So he was trying to do the right thing.
So
I'm
he's
sure
kind
he
of gentle with it, throws the blanket over, goes out to find a shovel so that he can shovel it up and take it outside,
right.
Comes back, the snake's gone.
The most.
Somewhere in the house, that snake is living, and he doesn't know where. So the question, if it were you, would you live in the house? What would you do?
It's so unnerving to return to an empty spot where you thought you knocked out a snake. I would call someone.
Okay.
I don't think I'd burn down the house
or anything like that.
I think you got to live in your home.
I knew you would say that. So
yes.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
I was anticipating that.
Yeah.
So you call Orkin, whoever it mm-hmm. is, and they come out and they say to you, we've just surveyed the house. We cannot find the snake, mm-hmm. but there were two holes in your wall. So the snake could have escaped. We don't know that it escaped.
Right.
But it could have escaped, but we can't find it in the house.
Yes.
What do you do?
That is the worst position of all. So now we've identified the access point where the snake could have escaped through. We could patch it up, but that will trap. If the snake hasn't escaped, now the snake is destined to be in your house and he's angry for being trapped. You're really in a terrible, terrible situation. And
what
then
you
have to go get an Airbnb. I think you have to leave at that point.
So
because
let me
that's
ask
too
you something.
Unnerving for me.
Well, you leave.
Yeah.
The snake. A week later, you can't find the snake.
Now he's even more upset.
A month later, you can't find the snake. What do you do?
What do you do, Harvey?
No,
have you ever had a situation like this?
I'm asking you this.
I don't know. I think you have to sort of patch up the hole and hope the snake perishes.
Why are you
from starvation?
Hold on. Why?
Because you don't want more snakes. The worst situation is the Orkin guy comes over and he says, I see where the snake got in. Now he could bring his family members. So you want to deal with one snake potentially trapped in your house, or you do want to deal with an entire infestation of snakes? That would be my concern. I think the lesser of two evils is to deal with the one snake.
What if that snake was pregnant?
Oh, jeez. Why are you painting a nightmare scenario? You're just writing a movie like Arachnophobia with snakes. Now the snake begets more snakes.
Okay, we're gonna end.
All right,
we're gonna end on an animal note.
Let's not delay anymore. This is our big debate of the week.
I love this story.
I know
much.
You do.
Okay, you start it.
Okay, so the Bronx Zoo, there's an elephant named Happy. This is a female elephant that's been in the zoo since the 70s. Was trapped, I believe, in Asia. Lives in the Bronx Zoo, which is one of the world's most famous zoos. But lives on about an acre of land, which for an elephant, which is a huge animal, feels like a prison. So something called the Non-Human Rights Project filed a writ of habeas corpus. We know what this is. This is where if someone is illegally confined, you can seek to spring them from prison. Say they are detained for the wrong reason.
You go to a judge and you say, look, this person, there's an illegal confinement. We want to free this person. That's called a writ of habeas corpus.
But notice he said the word person.
It is person. It is typically, or not typically, it's only been used for people.
That's right.
So now there's an elephant in the Bronx Zoo. The elephant's name is Happy.
Yes.
And Happy was captured in India when she was one, has been at the Bronx Zoo for 45 years. So this group went into court and said, look, this animal has a high cognitive function. This is a special, elephants are incredibly smart.
Yes.
But they're saying Happy is particularly smart. And
can identify an X on its forehead. They showed evidence that it has some degree of self-awareness, right? Can look in a mirror and see that the X is on its forehead and point to it.
Yeah, I mean,
high functioning.
High functioning.
Very high functioning.
So the this group is saying, look, the Bronx Zoo gives this elephant Happy about an acre to live in and has been living in an acre for 45 years. They're saying that is essentially like jail for an elephant. They want this elephant move to a sanctuary,
right,
where the elephant has plenty of room to roam. So they have filed a writ of habeas corpus, and this is now before the highest court in New York, the New York Court of Appeal, which is now deciding whether a writ of habeas corpus can apply to an elephant. And this group is saying it should. It is a, you know, who cares if it's got a trunk or a big nose?
You're trying to take away my rights with this as well?
I'm sorry. We just cracked ourselves up.
The way your eyes caught my nose and you're like, or for you. How dare you, sir?
But look.
So they're saying it's smart enough and it should have some human rights. If it looks at the X on its forehead, maybe it's experiencing some sadness and some human emotion. So should we give elephants the rights of humans?
So I find this really interesting.
Tell me why, Harvey, because then I'm going to tell you why I think it's crazy.
I think it's interesting because the law evolves, and the law tends to be behind changes in social mores. I mean, that's always the case.
And the New York Court of Appeal has been a leader on progressing the law, historically.
100 years ago, there was a very famous New York Court of Appeal judge, Benjamin Cardozo, who ended up in the U.S. Supreme Court. And they created products liability, the New York Court of Appeal. There was no such thing as suing for products that didn't work and everything else. They created this social policy. It was the one time, one of the few times when a court actually created the policy like that, that America caught up to it.
Products liability, for people who don't know, is to protect humans from products that have been manufactured
poorly. So the question is, if the law catches up with social mores, mm-hmm. I think there has been a sea change in terms of how we view animals. Yeah. And, you know, who cares if you have an animal that doesn't look like a human being, if they have emotion, if they have feelings, if they feel pain, if they can feel, you know, upset, if they have all of the qualities or most of the qualities that human beings have, where they can feel and suffer this way, why shouldn't they be protected?
Well, I have tremendous sympathies. Look, I love elephants. I don't like to see them caged up. I hope more of them are in sanctuaries. I think if you want to treat them as humans, though, you're going to have a hard time drawing appropriate lines. The reason we draw it at humans is we don't protect humans because they're particularly smart or self-aware. We protect them because we're humans and we make laws for humans. If you do this, pigs are very smart, Harvey, and we have a huge industry of eating pigs.
Oh, and I'm going to
get... They're very bright animals.
And I'm going to get to that, Derek. I'm going to get to that. But before we do, one of the judges on the Court of Appeal looked at the lawyer for this animal rights group and said, well, then what about dogs? Can somebody come in and free my dog?
Right.
Because it's the same principle, right? They said, no, dogs are maybe smart, but they don't have the high cognitive functions that an elephant has. So what they're doing is they're distinguishing animals.
But why do we care about intelligence? Do dogs suffer? You have dogs. You love your pets. They certainly suffer. If they're hungry, they whimper. If you hit them, they're sad in some way. You
but
see
here's
them
the
at the graves of their dead owners, and they
we protect
sit
dogs.
Down and weep.
We protect dogs.
Yes,
we have
but
animal,
we don't give them rights.
We have animal cruelty laws, and those are rights.
Yeah, yeah, in some respects.
Those are rights.
But they can't march into court.
Those are rights.
Yes.
And they can't march into court, but police can and say, we've arrested this guy for abusing a dog.
Yes.
Okay.
If Happy were mistreated, I'm okay with the Non-Human
okay.
Rights Project going in
so
and,
we're
gonna
and
freeing
end,
Happy.
We're going to end with this.
Yep.
A prediction.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the last word in this prediction, okay?
Deal.
So.
Love the last word.
I think that, you know, you look at society now, and I mean, look, as a gay man, I know what it was like 40 years ago, and it's way different 40 years ago than it is today. And there's been an evolution. There's been an evolution in all sorts of areas in our society as people learn, as they get comfortable with people that they didn't know before.
Yep.
And people change. I think in the next 20 years, partly because of climate change, partly because of the fact that food connects to that, and partly because young people view food differently than people like us, that there is going to be a huge move toward veganism. And I think veganism is going to look different in 10 years. I think the kinds of food we get, mm-hmm. the way they create food is going to be much more sophisticated. It's going to taste very similar to what we
we're getting
now.
There now.
We're getting there, but I think in 10 years, it's going to really change. So I would argue that in 10 years or 15 or whatever it is, that there might be a sea change to the point where you can go to court and say, we need to shut down every plant that kills pigs and that processes pigs and on and cows and on, because killing an animal for food is below us. And I could see in 10, 15 years, courts doing this the way they've protected people today that they didn't protect 40 years ago.
I think you're right. We have evolved a tremendous amount. We're already seeing that in the sort of humane move, at least for farming practices, to be better and to treat animals better. And you're
so,
right.
So
it's
carry,
only a step
so
further
so carry
to
it
say
forward.
we shouldn't kill them at all.
What about that?
I think it's going to be a long road. I don't think either of us will live
because
to see it. I think
I don't eat bacon. Is it because you eat bacon?
Bacon's tough to give up. Bacon's really tough to give up. And I think humans' relationships to food are different than humans' relationships to other humans.
So
I think
what
you're
if,
right. We
so
evolve
what if
very quickly.
What if there's a bacon substitute where you don't have to kill a pig? Do you think a court could ever say this is a gratuitous killing? Just the way I could see, you know, the torturing of minks to make fur.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I could see judges starting to outlaw that. Why not?
Yeah, you're right. Look, if all we're left with, if the food becomes so, the substitutes become so close to the actual experience of eating bacon, all you're left with is the cruelty, right? And then a court could say, well, we shouldn't do this because, as you say, it's gratuitous. I think we're a long way from that. I don't think this is necessarily the way we want to go about it, by giving them personhood in this way. I think you can have legislation and things like that. But you raise an interesting point. I'll give you that there is a world I can see where if all you're left with is cruelty, that we should bar it.
Oh.
And I don't think we're there yet, but we could get there.
We're going to end on that. I kind of like
that's it. It was a good point, Harvey.
Okay, have a good weekend, everybody.
All right, bye.